Glory, glory, glory. Thank you, Jesus. I mean, you know, we do have the best dad in the whole world. Thank you, Abba. We bless you, Jesus. Would you say this with me? I say that Immokalee is in revival. The blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear, the dumb speak. The dead are raised. Demoniacs are set free. Maimed are made whole. 500-mile radius. Thousands and thousands are born again in this outpouring. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. We're looking for that. But we're enjoying ourselves going to that. Hallelujah. Praise God. If the modern-day church, the one that has existed since Christ left, past the apostles, if they would have been pursuing the breakthroughs that come through serving Christ and following His Word, then you and I would not be here today asking God and believing God for a revival. We would still be in the revival. That's what it would have been just the church. It wouldn't have been something that we'd have been asking Him for. He left a powerful church. And if the church today will pursue the outpouring and breakthroughs like the world has pursued technology in the last 50 years, we will see this revival before His coming. Tremendous outpouring. When Columbus sailed the ocean blue, was it 1492, was that it? In the 1400s, 15 almost, they thought, most people thought the world was flat, but he had a hunch, and a hunch was based on more than just what he thought was fairy tales. He had probably other men's sighting. He believed there was another world. He believed that Europe wasn't just the only place that people could live. And from his discovery, you know, we stand here today, and a lot of you have probably phones here tonight that can go on the internet and download just anything. In fact, if you get bored with me, you could be watching a movie, I guess, but don't do that. Don't do that. But, you know, I was watching over Memorial Day, I was watching just in the 40s. Just in the 40s. The World War II was in the 40s. Ended somewhere in the mid-40s. The biggest thing, one of the movies I was watching, many of you have probably seen it, Midway. You know, the biggest thing was they were trying to find where the enemy was at. And they were speculating and guessing, and they hit it lucky. In fact, I guess God really had a lot to do with helping. But they would send out planes, and they would fly for hundreds of miles hoping to sight the carriers. What do you think about that from the 40s till now, just 65, 70 years? I mean, not only is there radars like the CDs are becoming, they're it's ancient, you know. It was tapes, and now nobody has a tape player in your car unless you got an older model. I got a tape player. But pretty soon, CDs will be obsolete. But radar is, I mean, there's not a ship on planet Earth now that they don't have a satellite looking at. I mean, they know where everything's at. They can look at you in your backyard. Years ago, there was an elder that I met at Pastor LaRue's church. His job, he worked for the Navy in intelligence, and he was stationed out of Alaska. And his job was to know where every Russian sub was at all times in the northern Pacific. And so not only do they know where every ship's at, they know where, and now this is amazing to me, a submarine can be a mile, 2 miles down deep in the ocean, and they know exactly where it's at all times. That's technology. But nobody would have believed that that could have happened unless somebody said, let me stretch it to the next level. Let me take it to the next level. We're kind of pioneers, because right now we see miracles. We hear miracles. Thank God in the break. Yolanda was telling me about the lady that we prayed for Sunday, just in a general prayer at the end of the service. I laid my hand on the shoulder of David, her husband, and prayed for a lady by the name of Jamie. And she's really, by practical purposes, natural purposes, she needs a lung transplant, kidney transplant. The world would call her really in a terminal mess. But she talked to her mom Sunday night, is it? Okay. And said that she had taken like 180 degrees turnaround. Things were just incredibly different. Incredibly different. Well, I believe it's the power of prayer. And so we're seeing those kinds of things, but if we don't stop, if we don't quit, if we'll just persist, breakthrough after breakthrough after breakthrough, just like in the world of technology when people could not believe that, you know, that now you can have a phone where you can talk face to face with the person that you're talking to. You know, I can't remember ever watching it, but I guess there was this series called Dick Tracy. That Kenny's smiling. He's old enough. He remembers it. And those guys were talking to each other on their wristwatches and stuff. But you can do that now. So we just got to persist. Breakthroughs. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. I see Mavis back there. She's making all the marks. Let me brag on some people right now. Just I never knew. Well, I did know, but recently all the more we're getting the opportunity to get a firsthand look at some of the things that go on behind the scenes. And, you know, when we're speaking in these services, in fact, let me just take a footnote, a little rabbit trail here to say this. You know, revival won't just take place here in this building or any other building. In fact, when it begins to mushroom and tsunami, it'll touch a lot of other places. It'll invigorate the love that a lot of other churches have. They'll spawn into it. They'll be a part of it. How many people can you fit in one building? That's not our objective, to build a massive square foot church. But there'll be millions across the globe before His coming that will be part and partisan to a great outpouring. And the biggest part that they will be brought into will be by technology. People listening to websites, watching web streaming, those kinds of things. And people will be born again in their homes. They'll be born again in their boats. They'll be born again in shopping malls. They'll be born again all over. And the miracles will be taking place too. The miracles will be taking place through web streaming. The miracles will be taking place through technology and through media. And so I got an email not long ago, in fact, right after Gary was here, and a young man actually that visited, he and his wife was here for Sunday morning and Sunday night. Real nice, sharp guy. I went out to lunch with him that afternoon. He sent me an email when he got back home, and they have a family, and they're living someplace, I think north of Tampa, between Tampa and Orlando or someplace. And he just wanted to let me know, and this will bless you as well, is that he had been following our ministry here for a number of years, listening to the services, getting the prophecies, and it had made a tremendous, profound effect in his life. And he said, I want you to know, because I want you to know, you may not get feedback a lot of times to let you know and understand what an effect the website is having in people's lives. But I want to let you know that it's had a tremendous effect in my life. And so he was just giving us an encouragement to keep going, and that it was affecting the world out there. So I give God the glory. Aren't you glad? I just praise God for whatever He's doing out there. And so it is taking effect. To God be the glory. for all of you volunteers, everybody, that this is not a one-man show. This is us going forward with God. And I like it. Now, if you want to be used, we got a lot of stuff for you to do. A lot of times people come to the kingdom and say, there was something said to R.W. Shambach one time. They said, somebody asked him, do you think God will use me? And he said, use you? He'll work you to death. Now, he won't work you to death, but he will use you till. But the only thing is, you got to be willing to do whatever it takes to push the ball down the road. You know, most of the time, when you get a bunch of boys together in a sandlot football game, you're standing there and you say, okay, which one of you want a quarterback? You got 11 hands. Everybody wants the quarterback. I want to be the guy that carries the ball, or I want to be the guy that scores the touchdowns. But if you don't care what you do, praise God, there is a lot to be done. Praise God. From the ladies that start on Monday morning praying to all of you Wednesday night crowd, I thank God for the wonderful job that Matt does back there in the sound booth. How many are you glad for that? Praise God. Amen. He's got to listen. He's got to stay in the service and listen to the Holy Spirit all at the same time. And from the people on Friday nights that come in here and speak the word and keep the kids next door, to every single one of you, to the bunch that comes in here, and thank God for the wonderful job that Homer and Rosie have done through the years, and everybody that's been around them to help get them down the road. And all this is volunteer. All of it's volunteer. And to the guys that drive the buses, I mean, and get people here for that purpose. But I'm looking over here on Sunday nights, and there's more cars here now than I think there is on Sunday morning. And I'm saying, God, send them. Keep going. Keep going. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad? Hallelujah. Why don't you just lift your hands and thank God for the magnitude of His grace and His glory. We love you, Jesus. You are so wonderful for all that you've done. And all that you're doing, take us in. Take us in. We have the best dad in all the world. We know who you are. But we want to know even more and more and more. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Father. I love you, Holy Ghost. Oh, Jesus, you're so perfect. You're such a faithful, faithful friend and a faithful witness. Hallelujah, Jesus. You witnessed who the Father was to this planet. You witness to us. You witness to us the glory of the Father. And I love you, Father. I worship you that Jesus came to reveal the invisible God. The invisible God. I love you, Father. I worship you. You're no longer invisible, but you're seen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I love you, Jesus. I receive grace for this portion of the service in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. If you will, turn with me to 2 Peter. Hallelujah. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 1. And as I said to her, I believe that he wants to talk to you for a few moments tonight about capacities and who you are in Christ and what we have the capacity for. Hallelujah. We certainly have the capacity to receive everything He's asked us to receive. But let's begin at verse 1 and look at it together. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, when it says precious faith, it's not talking about you standing at the bottom of a mountain and confessing the word against something in faith. It's talking about the common faith of our salvation. It says this in verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied unto you. And I say, God, oh, I want grace and peace. I want it multiplied unto me. And it says it comes through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as His divine power. Now, where is He going to use His divine power? It hath given unto us all things. And everybody, if you would, please say all things. It says all things that pertain unto life. And this is life here is not the kind of life that you get up and go to work from 9 to 5. This is the Zoe kind of life. This is the God-given, born-again life that you received when you became a partaker of the new nature, which he is about to say. This is the God kind of life. This is you going from death to life. And he says here, all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us unto glory and virtue. Now he says here that this divine power has given us all things that pertain unto life. When you got born again, the first thing that you received is the life, the divine spora, or the divine germination of Jesus Christ. It was His life that was imputed to you. But it says all things that pertain unto life and godliness. You also got a moral, coded, inscripted new nature. It doesn't know Scripture yet, but it does know what's right and wrong. Okay? It doesn't know dates. It doesn't know facts. It can't tell you, like Gary said when he was here, it can't tell you the street address. Now, the Holy Spirit can tell you the street address of the person that you're looking for, but the new nature in and of itself, it carries this, life, which has an ability to touch God and God to touch you and you to breathe in and breathe out and call Him Abba and you Son. It has that. It has the ability to discern right and wrong, godliness. And then he just repeats himself through knowledge of Him that has called us unto glory and virtue. When he says glory, he's talking about Jesus. When he talked about in John 14, 15, 17, I believe it is, when he said, the glory that He's given me, I give unto you. Now, what glory he's talking about is this, that new nature. He's talking about that divine nature. He's talking about that we receive that divine nature, the same nature that He had, we get to have. And virtue, again, it's basically repeating here this godliness. This word virtue is not the word didymus when the Bible says that the woman touched Him. There's actually six virtues, or not six different, but six references in the New Testament to the word virtue. This is not divine power. This is not talking about the virtue that flowed out of Christ. This virtue here that he will repeat not only here, but later on in the same chapter, is moral excellence. It's moral character. It's the character of a person. Whereby are given unto us great and precious promises, that by these you may be a partakers. Everybody, if you would, partakers. Everybody, he says here, wherein are given unto us, what is given unto us, this glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these promises, you might be partakers of the divine nature. Now, when he says the divine nature, of course, if you're understanding that that is your new nature, your born-again spirit in Christ, that's exactly right. That we might be partakers. Now, it's talking about us, fellowship, partakers. This is the same word where we get the word koinonia from, that we're fellowshipping, we're partaking. But not only are we partaking together, we're partaking in something. We're partaking together and also in something. And what we're partaking in is this divine nature. Now, when he's talking about here, this divine nature, he's going to tell you in just a moment what this divine nature is. The capacities of this divine nature. The first thing that he begins off in telling us is in the earlier verse where he says that life and godliness. In other words, from the get-go, your new nature has life in it and it has godliness. That's the foundation of who you are in Christ. You have an ability to commune with the Father and you have ability to live a righteous life. And he says that we might be a partaker of the divine nature. In other words, here is trying to get this picture over to you. Here is a huge picnic basket that has been delivered to you, and inside of it is everything that you are, and he's saying, partake. It's all in there. Begin to pull it out and partake, because everything that he's about to list is going to tell you what you have the capacity for and what you have the capacity against as being a born-again believer. Partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, and what he's saying here is this. In other words, because of this, or since you understand this, since we've laid this foundation, since you know what the divine nature is, since you understand that it is life and that it is godliness, that it is divine virtue, it's moral excellence, it's a character, it has that capacity in it. Now he begins to say, add to. Besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. Now, again, this word faith, this is not talking about add to your stand of faith. It's talking about add to your position of faith of who you are. In other words, your born again experience, your divine nature. Now, we understand this, and all of you that have a close enough walk with him and have looked into the mirror of this word, you understand this. You can't add anything to what he in his sovereign act of grace through Jesus Christ has given to you again from the get-go in the new nature. You can't of yourself begin to create moral excellence. You can't of yourself begin to create life. But what Peter is saying here is you are now qualified, or you now have the capacity in Christ to partake of everything that is already inside of you. And if you will allow the precious promises of His Word, and if you'll allow yourself, which He mentions in a moment, diligence, to walk you forward, then everything that you already are in Christ will present itself in a forward position. In other words, it will come to a forward position. It won't be in a laid-back position. It won't be hiding in lethargy. It won't be hiding in a sleepful place. It will awake, per se, as we've taught in Ephesians. It'll awake to righteousness. It will come forward. It'll be bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. It'll wake up and smell the coffee. Everything that you are, by capacity, comes forward through this divine nature. He says, besides for this divine nature, give all diligence, add to your faith virtue. Now this is not Didymus, this is not power. She touched the hem of his garment and virtue flowed. That's Didymus. I saw it earlier, it's a very small word, but it means moral excellence, moral character. How could you add these things to your walk unless they were not already in you? They have to be the capacity of who you are already. And this is an incredible argument in a good sense of the word to say, once you get born again, you have a completeness as in seed form. That seed is the new nature. It has the capacity to take you forward, but you're not done yet. You're not done. You've got to keep going forward. He says this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, that is moral excellence. And to your moral excellence, knowledge. You have the capacity to understand who you are and who God is and what the Word says concerning promises and the revelation knowledge of who everything God has made you to be in Christ Jesus. To knowledge, add temperance. Again, you can't go and get these things unless they're already part and partisan of who you are in Christ. That's the capacity. When I say capacity, you have the availability on the inside of you. The world, no matter what the world does, it can participate in a superficial temperance. Temperance is self-control. It's a godly self-control. It's an ability to look at a situation against emotions and say, I'm not going to live by my emotions, I'm going to live by the Word of God. Now the world can walk in a level of temperance. You look at people in the world just by their self-will. They've brought their bodies under subjection. They went to elite status in athletic field, and many of them don't know God. But they cannot exercise the temperance that the divine nature has the capacity to bring you to where that the end of all this comes out to the love of God. Where that your life is so sufficient in Christ that all of the capacities that could be worked in the world to deface this, to come against it, to debate it and say, you can't live by this standard. The world can't have that. It only comes by the new nature. That temperance only comes by the new nature. And to temperance, patience, meaning this is the word hufomene, which means being consistent. Being consistent. I like this. It means doing the same thing all the time and being the same way because God is. See, you will walk yourself out. One thing that the Holy Spirit taught me a long time ago, years ago, through Pastor Dave, he said, Bronk, understand this. Every trial, if you just keep going forward, every single trial burns itself out. Everything burns itself out. If you just keep going forward, no matter how hot it is right now, how it's flaming around you, if you won't get distracted by the things around you, everything changes in Christ. If you know this, all of you that have walked through anything and stayed consistent on the Word, you can't hardly even put your finger on the moment when it turns. You just know that it turns. You just know that it turns. You just know that as long as you keep going and keep, I like to say it this way, excuse me, it's consistency. It means getting up, putting your britches on the same way, going forward when you would rather just hibernate, go into seclusion, go in and say, let the whole world stay, keep doing the same thing that you were doing before the trial. When the trial hits, keep doing it. That virtue is a capacity that it was given to us in the new nature. And if we exercise diligence, then all these things come forward. Now, there's a great promise at the end of this. There's a tremendous promise that I love that tells us why we do all these things. And it says, to patience, godliness. Wow, wait a minute. I've got godliness at the get-go. That's right. But then he says, add to godliness, godliness. Now, what's that all about? In other words, as you walk forward in the divine nature, see, the divine nature from the get-go will tell you, don't commit adultery on your wife. It'll tell you that. It won't necessarily tell you which rating of picture to see or not to see. You may begin your walk in Christ today accepting certain things in good conscience, and 5 years later, you can't walk into that same place. That's growing in godliness. Although, at one time, you weren't condemned in your conscience for what you allowed. 5 years later, what you allow even in your home, you won't allow anymore. And that is a growing consciousness of the moral excellence, the virtue. See, you don't stay the same. The Holy Spirit won't let you stay the same. He's glad for wherever you start at. And if you're born again, speaking in tongues, and run into every R-rated picture there is, He's glad you're born again. But after a while, as you keep praying in tongues and keep reading the Word, something inside of you will say, I can't sit here and listen to that junk anymore. It bothers my spirit. I can't listen to it. It won't even be something that you initiate. It'll be something on the inside of you that says that I'm not happy when I do that. I'm not happy anymore when I do that. Praise God for growth in Christ Jesus. And a lot of room to grow. Isn't that great? To godliness, he says, to this godliness, brotherly kindness. That's Philadelphia. That is not the city. Phileo. Friendship. Friendship. The love of God among us. Add to it. In other words, if we could not, if we could not grow in these things, He would not be saying, add, add, add. And yet, they're there from the beginning. They're there from the beginning. The last one is the crowning to me. That's the crowning. He says, to this brotherly kindness, add, and this is the word agape. Add agape. Now, wait a minute. I got love from the beginning, yes. But you have the capacity as you continue to worship. Let's pick on some of the songs that we sing in here. What if you stayed in that atmosphere? We sing some beautiful songs. What if you stayed in that atmosphere as much as you possibly could? When you weren't doing something family and being a good mommy or good daddy, or working hard, being a good provider, or doing any job that you need to do, what if you devoted more and more time to that atmosphere? What's going to happen to that? What's going to happen is the love of God that you feel in these moments will only increase because you have a capacity inside of you to increase. The world doesn't want to worship God, but let's say if the world came in here and we could pay the world, let's say they're not born again, if we could just say, okay, I'm going to give you $200 for the next 2 hours or an hour, because that's the most you'll be able to stand it, to say, I love you, Jesus. I love you. I love you. I love you. I'm going to give you a couple $100. At the end of that, nothing could have increased for them. Unless there was a want to begin to say, how do I meet Jesus? That may increase, but there's no capacity. There's no capacity on the inside. In our capacity, we begin to go to a place. Well, let me read the rest of this, and then I know what he's going to say here. I believe I do. He says this, to brotherly kindness add this agape. For if these things be in you, and of course they are from the get-go, and then he says abound. In other words, if you work at them or you allow the Holy Spirit to bring them to the forefront. And that's what he does. They, these things that he just mentioned, that we just read, will make you that you shall be neither barren nor unfruitful. How many of you want to be a great ministry to the Lord and just have something hanging off your tree all the time in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ? But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off. And of course he's talking to Christians here, because he says that person who's let these things slide, even though they have the capacity for it, has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do, everybody say do. Now, these are character things. These are actually things of virtue. These are things instilled. But yet, he says, if you do these things, you shall never, what? Fall. Hallelujah. Isn't that a great promise? You'll never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly in an everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Once the Holy Spirit begins to bring these things, let's say you're conceived, not physically, but spiritually. You're born again. From the get-go, all these things are inside of you. But once you begin through diligence to look into the promises and diligently go forward in Christ, serve Him, learn how do I get to know Him, I begin to understand the capacity of tongues. I begin to understand the capacity of communion with my Father through intimacy. I begin to understand all those things, and they present me in a forward position, and they bring forth. One of the things that this capacity begins to bring you to reconciliations. The first reconciliation that you begin to make, consciously or unconsciously, and then later it'll be very conscious, is that through the crowning of this, which is the charity, the agape, love casts out all fear. It casts out all fear. And at some point, no matter how much you ever were in bondage to anything through, let's say, an offense or a hurt or something that somebody did to you or victimization. You may have been a victim of violent crime. You may have been a victim of this or victim of that. But once you realize that in Him, through these capacities, you lose, not partially, but totally, the capacity to anymore see yourself as a victim. When you realize what He gave you, no one, past or present or future, has the capacity to hold you in bondage in your emotions from anything they said or did. No one. That is virtually based on this. But they did. You may have been the victim of that. But by the divine nature, when you understand. Now, I'm not talking about living in a certain situation. If you're living under violence, and if you're victimized under that, then you must get out. But once you're freed from the actual concourse of those things happening to you on a daily basis, you are always free in Christ Jesus. You cannot go back 10 years, 5 minutes. You must realize this, even before the hurt goes away or the pain goes away, you must acknowledge this. My capacity in Christ Jesus is everything that His Word just described there. And no one on planet Earth has the capacity to in bondage me, captivate me in my emotions, hold me captive by memory, by implication, by accusation. No one on planet Earth has that capacity. Hallelujah to God. We are free. Now, before you ever feel it, you must acknowledge that that exists in Christ Jesus. One of the things I see as I talk to people along the way is regret. Once they begin to see how free they really can be, then the next thing the enemy puts in on them is the regret of what they've let slide and where they could have been. But you've got to get past that. You've got to absolutely, if you know this, that there are so many ways of encouragement, but the Word of God is the last and final say-so. But many of the major men of God that ever turned the world upside down, and I could name some of them, they didn't even start really moving in. Smith Wigglesworth, the different ones, they didn't start turning their world upside down until they were late in life or later on in life. So God not only is the God of the second chance, but the third and the fourth and the fifth and the ongoing. But what every individual has to cross a path, and they have to cross this, and they have to know this, that the capacity that is described here, the capacity that is described here, sets me free. No one can make me a victim. I'm not a victim. And therefore, we are freed from all capacities, according to His Word, to carry any offense. Now, the Word says, and I think we should turn there. Just hold your place there in 2 Peter. I'm thinking of a scripture. Give me a second to find it. It's in 2 Corinthians. Hallelujah. I'm like Gary said, somebody took 2 Corinthians out of my Bible. It's in chapter 1. Look at verse 1. And I'm not really sure what verse I'm after here, but I know I'll read it if I keep reading here for a little bit. I know it's in chapter 1 here. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in Achaia, grace be to you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comforts. This is it. Who comforteth us in our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. Hallelujah. Isn't that good? We can comfort them that are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Hallelujah. I think that's noteworthy and worthy of being read again. Who comforteth us in our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Amen. Hallelujah. So you can turn back to Peter if you have that, holding that place. This is beautiful because it says this: we get the ministry, we have the capacity, and we get the ministry of comforting. We get the ministry of reconciliation. We get the ministry of speaking comfort to people's life. And we understand this. Once you as an individual, no matter what you're going through or no matter what's hurting you in the peripheral of your life, once you begin to understand that there is no voodoo in Christ. Now, people practice voodoo. I understand that part. And I believe it has a certain level of power out there in the world. But nobody has the capacity, by anything they've ever done to you, to exercise a dominion to put you in a box. So you're free. You're free. The capacity to live free, to get up every morning and say, look. Now, for all of you that are going in and all of us that understand this, capacity and things coming at you are two different things. You may have to make valuable decisions and choices not to receive something, not to walk in offense, not to receive the thing that is coming down the road. You may have to make that decision several times a day. That is not a fault of yours. That's a virtue. That's moral excellence. In fact, you may go through a trial where Satan's trying to move in on you with a capacity to receive something that's going to begin to divert your walk. And it may be through an offense. But if you've reconciled a long time ago, look, no matter how bad this hurts or that hurts, nobody has the power over me. And if you understand that, then you keep marching every day and you keep quoting your word and you keep praying for that person, and like Gary was talking about, and you keep saying the verses of Scripture. And it doesn't matter. Hey, if God walks with you for 6 months through something like that, and you on the inside are rebelling against the rebellion, can I say it that way? Even if it feels like at times it's moving, if you're rebelling against the rebellion, if you're rebelling against the offense, then guess what happens? It proves itself out. God's victory always comes forward. And that comfort, Paul says this, we get to comfort others, I like this, with the comfort wherewith we ourselves were also comforted. In other words, I'm ministering from a comforted capacity. Isn't that great? I get to minister. I don't have to minister from a mean capacity. I can minister from a comforted capacity. In other words, if I realize I'm free and I walk free, then I can get you free. Hallelujah. If Carl is having a problem, then I can go to Carl and say, Carl, look, let's look at Jesus in this. I know you're having a problem with, and he's not, but I'm just going to give an example, okay? He's not at all. Let's say he's having a problem with Pastor Homer. I say, Carl, you're having a problem. Now, let me say this for clarification. A capacity is a capacity wherever you find it. Oh, that sounds deep, Pastor. A capacity is a capacity wherever you find it. What does that mean? Whether I find it in me or find it in Carl, these are the capacities in 2 Peter that we've been born again with. And if we diligently walk in them, they'll press out every other capacity. But if we're lax in them and forget what we've become, then other capacities will take charge of our life. If I come to him and I see that he has a problem with Pastor Homer, then there has developed an offense, an offensive. There's something inside of them that is not. It's no longer a war. It's a set in situation. There's a capacity developed there. What I have to do is not help him deal with Homer. I have to help him deal with himself between him and Christ. That's what I have to help him do. Why? Because that situation is only the situation at hand. I can, if there's anything that I can do to, blessed are the peacemakers. But listen, if Carl's got a capacity for an offense, Carl, the reason why me and Carl are getting along, if Carl is getting along with me, it's because I'm going in the same direction with Carl. And that might not be a bad thing. Or I believe like Carl, or I think like Carl. But if he has the capacity for offense, then if in ignorance or in any other way I cross him up, he'll feel the same way about me that he does with Pastor Homer. Why? Because he has that capacity. Let me say it this way. I've had people tell me from other churches, I wish you were my pastor. And I said, thank you. You know, thank you. And so, you know, and then they would go on and start talking about, and they, you know, it'd be like two or three times every time I'd maybe hear. I never go into that situation that they had with, if they're talking about an offense that they had with leadership at their past church, and maybe they're going someplace else. I steer them to Christ. Why? Why, Pastor? Because I know that if in their state, in their capacity, if they came here, what they have inside of them, the first time I don't do what they're expecting of me, that same capacity that is eating them up from their lack of walking in this capacity, they would have the same feelings towards me. It's only not at you because you seem to be going in this direction, but if you turn, even by ignorance, against that, that capacity for hurt will swallow you up as well. So the understanding is this. Our ability to comfort them with the comfort where we're comforted is not in the issues of this world. It is taking mankind, it is taking the church and saying, live by this. Love Him. Look to Christ. Look to Him. He has supplied everything inside of you that makes the owies go away. But you've got to believe. You've got to believe. You've got to believe that you're not under voodoo. You've got to believe that you're not under a hex. You've got to believe that nobody has the capacity. No memory. Memories can be healed. Things can be healed. Every situation can be healed, but it has to go. The first place that it has to start is believing God's Word above the way you feel. Oh, that's good preaching. Thank you, Jesus. But He's given that to us. And He's given that capacity to us to add to knowledge temperance, to virtue, to our faith virtue, and virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, and patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and the last and crowning of these is that agape. Man, when I seen that dream Saturday night, got up Sunday morning, whoo, God, I was ready to go again. It's the love of God. It really is the love of God. The devil has no trump card for it. Follow after these things. Father, I love You. You are so wonderful. You have provided what no man can provide. You've provided a nature that has the capacity to run into God, to hear God, to feel God, to see God, and to have God as the last and final say-so. Now, none of us are perfect as of yet. We are being perfected by this. But help us in these days, Lord, to all the more realize that You've created in us a capacity for more, for greater breakthroughs, to see the love of God and the expanse of everything that You're doing in this community, in us, and then through us. We love You, Father. Hallelujah. You've been a wonderful audience. Remember that You are the apple of His eye. He loves you more than you can imagine. Have a wonderful day tomorrow and rest well tonight.